Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all the ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, what a Savior.
It is a blessing to be with you today, to be back at the church I grew up in, was saved in, and called into the ministry from as well. Let me introduce my wife, Lynn, if you were not here in Sunday school. So Lynn and I met through child evangelism training. I went from here down to Georgia for training. She came from Winston-Salem, and we met in Georgia. I was there 4 summers. She was there 3 summers. Then we dated at Bob Jones my last semester and got married and been serving the Lord since then. 24 of those years now have been in the Philippines. So it's a blessing to have this church as a part of our ministry since it's been such a part of my life as well. So if you take your Bibles, turn over to Romans chapter 16. My question for you this morning, can ordinary people make a difference in the lives of others? Can you make a difference? In Romans 16, Paul lists numerous people that you might say had made a difference in his life. And I want us to focus on one couple this morning, and that's verse 3. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have, for my life, laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the friends that you give us, for those that have made an impact in our lives spiritually. We thank you for those that you send into our lives. Help us to be the kind of friend that can make a difference in the lives of others for your glory. We commit this time unto you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. when I was growing up here, naturally, for most of the years, it was downtown across from Grace Baptist, little white church around the corner. We came to Sumter when I was 9 months old and lived over by the fairgrounds, bought a new house there. This was back in, been 54, around 55. We came 54 because I was born July 53. And then moved into the house, I think, when it was built in 55, there on Barnett Drive. My dad left us when I was three. So the next door neighbors brought us to Sumter Bible Church. And so George Hare taught my mother how to drive, and so she got a car. She worked at Western Auto. It was downtown on Main Street. At the time, before they built a WA Family Store, it was across from Edwards, $0.05 and $0.10 store. I mean, I could just give you all kind of history here. But naturally, growing up without a dad was difficult. But God sent two men that made a difference in my life. One of them was John Felker, the child evangelism director for South Carolina. He was in our church. And so, and he had a son that was my age, and that's how the Lord worked in my life and getting me involved in the ministry, helping at the fair, and then being a summer missionary for 4 summers. And then Hugh Bryant, there was another family, and his son was about 3 years younger than me, Mike Bryant. You probably know him. He's the director for the Georgia Association of Christian Schools. So those two families became friends, and they would invite us over. They would invite us. I remember Mr. Bryant. Most of the fishing I did growing up was with Mr. Bryant and his sons. They would invite me to go along with them to Santee or up to Dazzell or out in the swamp, you know, somewhere. Plenty of those around. So it was through someone being a friend. Now, turn over to Acts chapter 18, where we're introduced to Aquila and Priscilla, and see how God used them to make a difference in the life of Paul. In Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 18 says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So Paul is on his second missionary trip. After these things. So what are the things that we're talking about? What is the context of which he meets Aquila and Priscilla? He has come into Europe after seeing the vision of the Macedonian man come over unto us. He comes to Philippi. He cast out the demon from a young lady. The owners are upset. He's arrested. He's beaten. He's thrown into prison, into jail. And of course, God saves the Philippian jailer. But he's beaten. He leaves Philippi. He comes to Thessalonica. In Thessalonica, he goes to the synagogue. The Jews get stirred up against him, cause an uproar in town, and he has to leave Thessalonica. He goes to Berea. In Berea, the Jews from Thessalonica follow him there and cause a problem, and he has to leave Berea. So some of the Bereans take him to Athens and then leave him there. Silas and Timothy have remained in Berea, so Paul is by himself in Athens. He's moved by the idolatry that he sees. He gets up on Mars Hill and preaches to them, and they mock and make fun. He leaves Athens and travels alone to Corinth, 50 miles by foot. He's discouraged. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3 tell us that when he came to Corinth, he says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, it's hard to imagine Paul in that condition, but he's honest. He says, when I came to Corinth, he says, I was weak, I was fearful, and I was in much trembling. He was coming to one of the most wicked cities in the Roman world. He was by himself. Evidently, he does not know anyone in Corinth. There's no church there yet. And so he doesn't know what he's going to face. He's alone. He's had a rough trip, you might say, from Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and now to Corinth, and he's discouraged. But God has a couple in Corinth that God is going to use to be a blessing and an encouragement to the Apostle Paul. Look in verse 2. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So notice, he meets Aquila and Priscilla. They were lately come. That is, they had just arrived recently in Corinth themselves. How did they make it to Corinth? They were expelled from Rome. Now, imagine what it would be like if all of the Christians were expelled from Sumter County, or Lee County, or Clarendon County, or Florence County, any of these surrounding counties. You've got to leave because of your belief. The Jews, we know from history that there was an uproar in the city of Rome concerning a Christus. Now, it may have been referring to Christ. We don't know for sure. But because of the uproar amongst the Jews, then Claudius expelled all of the Jews from the capital city of Rome. That included Aquila and Priscilla. So they have to leave their home. They have to leave their business and others that they knew. So I would consider that a very critical and a crisis in my life if something like that came up. It would be easy to be bitter, wouldn't it? They end up in Corinth. Now, remember, God's in control. God has allowed that to happen to this couple so that they will be in Corinth when God brings Paul to the city of Corinth. He's going to be discouraged. He's going to be in fear and trembling and weakness. And God has used the expulsion of the Jews to bring Aquila and Priscilla to Corinth at precisely the time that Paul is going to arrive and need a friend. See, God allows things in our lives for a reason. But God also brings people into our lives for a reason. And God can use you to make a difference excuse me, in somebody else's life. Just like those two families that I mentioned when I was growing up, you know, here you got a family, the father is left, so my mother, she at the time, she didn't have a job, she didn't know how to drive, got two children, and no father, and growing up. And so God used different individuals in this church to be a blessing and to be friends and to make a difference in my life and my sister's life and my mother's life. And so all around us are people that are in need. people that are discouraged, people that are in hardship, could be family coming in from another country. I was talking to Art and his family and asking his daughter, says, how was it when you first arrived? How hard was it to adjust to another culture? We know it's a challenge when you go into another culture. People that need a friend. So I remember when we moved up to North Carolina, I pastored down in Buford. So when we left Buford, even though that was our sending church, I didn't want to stay and make it difficult for a new pastor coming in. So we moved up to North Carolina. My wife's from Winston-Salem. My mother had moved back up to North Carolina when I took the pastorate in Buford, and she was living near Winston-Salem as well. So we moved up to Winston-Salem. Well, I didn't know any of the pastors up there. New family, and that was basically it. I heard about a pastor that invited all missionaries to come to his missions conference. And so he'd have 25, 30 missionaries show up at his missions conference, country church. So I call him up on the phone, and he says, I'm glad to hear there's a missionary in Yadkin County. Come on over. And so it was preacher Alan Barker. So met him. He became a friend. He shared a list with me. He says, here's all these pastors that I preach for. And there must have been 30 names or something. He says, call these pastors. So one time when it was snowing and everybody's at home, I got on the phone and scheduled 12 meetings one day. Now, that's a miracle. But he became a friend, still a friend. We were with them last Wednesday night, and I preached 2 weeks ago or so there. But God used him. Then there was a family in the church that invited us to their house for the Sunday meal of the missions conference, and we became friends with that family. Another church that the pastor became friends, and he babysits our car for us when we go back to the Philippines. But there was a family in that church that became very good friends to us, and he helps us ship boxes, the Balik Bayan boxes, back to the Philippines, because every time we come in, I buy Bibles and books and other material, and then I ship all these back in these big Balik Bayan boxes. They have a representative in High Point, so I don't have to go far to ship them, and then they deliver them right to my doorstep there in the Philippines. And so I'm constantly getting Bibles and things because they're so expensive in the Philippines, but much cheaper here. So the Lord providing friends. We got to the Philippines. And, of course, I didn't know anybody in the Philippines except a missionary in Manila. But that was an hour and a half drive from where we were. But there was a family in the church, Brother LeGowan, and he was one of only, I think we only had maybe two families in the church at that time that had a vehicle. Several trike drivers, which is a motorcycle with a sidecar, but he was a jeepney driver. And so they lived a little further from the church than we did. So for 6 months, they picked us up every Sunday and Wednesday night to bring us to church. And then finally bought a vehicle so that we could get around, because you can use the public transportation there, the jeepneys and the trikes and the buses, et cetera, very inexpensive. But they became friends, and he was one of the deacons and just helped us any way that they could. But going into a new area, you don't know anybody. You don't know where to find anything. My wife, one time, she was looking for bows. And she knew they had bows because she would see them. But she'd go to a store and ask for a bow, and so she called up. There was another missionary family that we had met that lived on the other side of town. She called up the wife, and she says, you're asking for the wrong thing. Says, go back and ask for ribbon, and they'll give you a bow. And so that's what it was. But see, when you're in a new culture, you don't know anything. And so, you know, we had to learn. And we needed people that would be a friend and just guide us through our ignorance and everything else. And it was a challenge trying to find a wick for a hurricane lamp. And they say, one of the first words you learn is, voila, don't have. And so I went to all the hardware stores. I finally found a real skinny one and bought two of them and put them side by side, to work. But just finding somebody that would tell you where you can find things. You would find bobby pins in the bookstore. So if you wanted bobby pins for your hair, go to the bookstore. And so just, all these things that we had, to learn. And having someone to be a friend, to just guide you through, someone to explain things. When you're in a different culture, they think different. Now, I picked up a book a couple years ago, which I wish I had been given when I first arrived, about the difference between Western culture and Eastern culture, you might say, concerning time, concerning crisis, concerning shame, and all these things. Because when you're in another culture, especially if it's Asian culture or Latin American culture, it's going to be entirely different than what we are used to in Western culture, the thought patterns, etc. And you need friends. Paul needed a friend. And God gave him Aquila and Priscilla. They had lost what they had in Rome, but they had a heart for the Lord. They loved the Lord. They opened up their home. Paul, you can stay with us. They're fellow Jews. They have that in common. And they were tent makers. And so not only did they open up their home and allow Paul to stay with them for a year and a half, but they allowed Paul to work with them in their business. Paul was also a tent maker by trade, so he was able to help in making tents and make earn a living that way. And eventually, Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia and brought a love offering from there, and Paul was able to devote more time to preaching the gospel. But see, anyone in the ministry, and you see it especially with Paul, will tell you, I can't do everything myself. When you look at what God has done in the Philippines, our young people, God has blessed us with many young people. So when we go out into the resettlement areas, many of our young people, some of them were college age, some of them high school age, back then, hardly any jobs, so they would go out with us. I'd load up my van. I had a 12-passenger van, so I'd load up my van, and we'd go out and knock on doors and have Bible studies, and our young people going with us. We'd have a couple of men that they would do the preaching or the teaching. We went out into the first area. We'd go out on Sunday afternoons and we would have preaching in three different points. There's 28,000 people in one square mile, if you can imagine. And so we had a preaching point in one end, a preaching point in the center, and a preaching point on the other end. And then I would send my van and we would load up my 12-passenger van to bring people to church. We had 41 in my 12-passenger van. Now, mostly children, but a few adults. But in the Philippines, you learn there's always room for one more. You get in a jeepney, and I mean, you're like this, and then somebody else will come and squeeze, and he's just touching the seat with most of his body still out in the aisle, but there's room for one more. And the jeepney driver will sit there and say, okay, now squeeze over a little more. I mean, you're like this, but there's always room for another. But people that said, I'll do what I can. I will be a friend. I will help. And so Paul, there in Romans 16, he gives a list of all these people. He says, greet so-and-so, greet so-and-so. They were my helpers. They were, you know, a blessing. They were co-laborers. They were in prison with me. We read in Philippians about Epaphroditus and Onesiphorus, and Colossians about Epaphras, and all these different ones that helped Paul. And Paul says, I thank the Lord for each one of these. I thank the Lord for Aquila and Priscilla. God used them to make a difference in his life when he was discouraged, when he was alone. So notice then verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And then, verse 21, he bade them farewell, and he goes on to Jerusalem. But Aquila and Priscilla went with Paul when he left a year and a half later, and they went with him to Ephesus. Paul left them in Ephesus, and he's going to return on his third missionary trip to Ephesus. But he goes on to Jerusalem. So Aquila and Priscilla are left in Ephesus. And then Paul will return. So they made a difference in the life of the Apostle Paul. There's many people that God has used to make a difference in my life, to make a difference in my wife's life. My wife grew up in an unsaved family. One of her neighbors gave a tract to her when she was 9 years old. She took it back to the lady and says, I don't understand, and she was going to give it back to her. So she explained to her and led her to the Lord and started taking her to church. You know, a lady says, I'm just going to be a friend to this little girl that's in our neighborhood. And so you see what God has done in my wife's life since then. But a neighbor, it was just a friend to her. And so Paul was thankful for Aquila and Priscilla. But it didn't end there. Let's continue and see that God used them to make a difference in the life of Apollos. Verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently, that is, accurately, the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly or accurately. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So, while they're in Ephesus, at this point, there's no church in Ephesus. So the Jews go to the synagogue to hear the Word of God taught. And Apollos, a very educated Jew, he's from Alexandria, which was one of your intellectual centers of the ancient world. The largest library in the world was in Alexandria. The Old Testament had been translated from Hebrew to Greek in Alexandria. So he grew up in the midst of the finest education in the known world. So you might say, here's a man with a doctorate degree or two. And he comes to Ephesus. He knows the Old Testament Scriptures, but he only knows the baptism of John the Baptist. And so Aquila and Priscilla hear him, and they take him aside, probably to their home, and they expound to him more accurately the things concerning Christ. And you can imagine what Aquila and Priscilla understood themselves because Paul had been in their home for a year and a half. Can you imagine sitting around the supper table or the dinner table, talking to the Apostle Paul and him sharing all that God has revealed and given to him? And so now Aquila and Priscilla share that with Apollos. They don't wait for a preacher to come along. They said, you know, we know some things that he doesn't know. So they basically disciple Apollos, probably in their home, and explain to him more accurately. And God uses Apollos in a mighty way to spread the gospel, especially in Corinth, and to refute the Jews. He was eloquent, he was fervent in spirit, and mighty in his preaching. And so Aquila and Priscilla took this young man and they discipled him. They taught him what they had been taught concerning Christ. Now, all of us, if you've been in this church for a number of years, you have been taught a lot concerning the Word of God, right? And there's a lot of people who know less than you do. And so it might be a young convert. It might be someone that's been saved for several years, but they've not grown spiritually. The Lord could use you maybe to disciple that person, have them over for a meal or a Bible study, and share the Word of God and share with them what God has taught you and what God has done in your life, and you could make a difference in their life. Aquila and Priscilla, ordinary couple, tent makers by trade, but they take this young man and they disciple him, and God uses him in a mighty way in Corinth. And then later, we find him working with the Apostle Paul as well. So then, finally, going back to Romans chapter 16. Notice what it says in verse 4 and 5. You know, Paul says, I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, why would other churches give thanks for Aquila and Priscilla? Well, not only did they help save Paul's life, we're mentioned, we don't know when, but notice verse 5, greet the church that is in their house. Now, Christians would start out in the synagogue, but normally, after a while, they would be expelled from the synagogue. There are no church buildings, so they would meet in somebody's home. We know back earlier in the book of Acts that in the home of John Mark's mother that they would meet. That's where Peter went after he was delivered from prison by the angel. So here we're told there was a church in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. They're back in Rome. So Claudius evidently has died. And they've returned to Rome, but they've opened up their home since they were business people and they had evidently were very wealthy since they traveled. We know they were in Corinth, they were in Ephesus, now they're back in Rome, so they opened up their home. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So at this point, they're in Ephesus, writing back to Corinth because the people are writing to Corinth, and people would know Aquila and Priscilla since they had lived there and been there. So we know at least two cities where they had a church in their home. But I would think probably in Corinth they did also. And who knows what other cities they may have lived in. But wherever they were, they opened up their home to be used of the Lord for His glory. And so all the churches of the Gentiles, thank you. What a difference. Ordinary couple. They love the Lord. They opened up their home. They befriended Paul. They befriended Apollos. They befriended other Christians. Anything they could do to be used of the Lord, and God used them to make a difference. And Paul could say, I thank you, and all the churches of the Gentiles, thank you. Now, how many people would be thankful for you? Are there people that you have befriended? People that you've been a blessing to? Because God can use you to make a difference, just like God used a neighboring lady to make a difference in my wife's life, used a couple families in this church to make a difference in my life and my family's life when I was growing up. Folks that we've met up in North Carolina, Filipino families there in the Philippines that have been such a blessing to us as well, that God has used to be friends, to be a blessing, and to help further the work of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for this church, for the families here that have been such a blessing to us over the years that you've used to make a difference in my life. Thank you for those that have made a difference in Lynn and I's lives as we have served you these years. We pray you would take and use us as you did Aquila and Priscilla. May we be available. May we look for those that you could use us to make a difference in their life. And with their heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's some here this morning, you say, Brother Ashley, God has spoken to my heart. I want God to use me to make a difference in somebody's life this new year. And you slip up your hand and say, Brother Ashley, pray for me. God's spoken to my heart. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes. Father, thank you for these folks, this church. I pray for these that have raised their hand that you would take and use them to make a difference in the lives of others, to be a friend, to realize that we, as ordinary Christians, can be used of you to make a difference in the lives of others for your glory. We commit them to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.